And so we come to the end of this bit. For the last number of weeks, we've been looking at the seven messages that have been written by the Christ through his servant John. I am commanded by the King to write to the seven churches. And this morning, we come to the church at Laodicea. All of these seven churches located on the western extremity of modern-day Turkey, and all fairly close to each other, indicative of the way in which the missionary journeys of Paul had taken him through that part of that geography and had established church settlements in various cities. I don't know if anybody here ever studied O-levels. Yes, thank you. Thank you. People of my era, all these GCSE things. O-levels, okay. I did O-level geography. Oxbow Lakes and the lot, okay. I see some knowing nods, so they obviously still teach you about Oxbow Lakes, and but I'm not going to meander too far this morning. Thank you. Hi, thank you. One of the things that I was taught in my O-level geography was to identify why it was, from the contours of the landscape, why various towns and villages were established. Yes? Due to the water table and springs and all those sorts of things which people would establish settlements around. That was not the case for Laodicea. Laodicea was one of those towns which was built on trade and commerce and thus wealth. Its trade was in banking, its trade was in medicine. Its trade was in the creation of cloth for clothes. And it is with reference to those that the message of the Christ comes to them. The Christ who declares himself to be the Amen, the final word, the end of all discussion and debate about this. He is the Amen on this. We have looked at seven churches. We've looked at Ephesus, who were commended for their hard work, but criticised because they had lost their first love. We've looked at the message to the church at Smyrna, who are suffering and poor, but have to be reminded that they were actually rich and should endure. We've looked at the message to the church at Pergamum, that church where there was persecution and martyrdom, and there was poor teaching there, and a call to repent. We've looked at the message to Thyatira, where the society in which they lived was impinging upon the Christian community, and yet there were those who remained faithful. We've looked at the church in Sardis, who have a reputation for being alive, but were really dead. But some were faithful. And then last week to the church at Philadelphia, that church where God had given them the door of opportunity. God who holds all those doors open. And yet today we come to the one shut door over which the Christ has no key. The door of the heart. I stand at the door and I knock. Will you open the door to me? Laodicea, built on banking and medicine and the weaving trade. but also located where there was no supply of water. How did they get their water? Well, they were in the location of two other cities, Colossae and Hierapolis, who had supplies of water. Now, this is the thing I love. All right, I love this. Colossae begins with the letter. What do you think its water was? Cold. All right. Hierapolis begins with, and its water was hot. Laodicea begins with L, and its water was lukewarm. You see, because it didn't have its own water, it either got cold water from Colossae or hot water from the springs at Hierapolis and was pumped in. Well, pumped, it poured in. And so by the time it got there, it was neither cold nor hot, and it was just lukewarm. Oh, poor people. But you'll never forget, the cold water comes from Colossae, the hot water comes from Hierapolis, and the lukewarm water comes from Laodicea. All right, next time you look at your sink, all right, you will remember this morning's message. All right? I guarantee it. You will remember, as you turn on your taps, it's either cold or hot, or it's lukewarm. It was also a banking area and was very, very rich. In fact, you may recall that one of our other cities suffered an earthquake and was destroyed. So was Laodicea. But instead of seeking external aid, Laodicea was completely self-sufficient, completely rebuilt themselves, didn't want help from anywhere else outside of their own walls of their own city. It was a city which was famed for its medicine and its research. In fact, it was very famous for an eye salve used in the treatment of eye complaints. And it was also a place where wonderfully rich black woven wool cloth and clothing was made. You know, I am saddened by this letter to Laodicea because there is absolutely nothing in here that says, I know your good works. Nothing. There's not a scrap, there's not a line in here that says, I know your good works. In fact, everything that was reflected in the city itself was also reflected in the church. That's the only conclusion I can draw. The church had been so absorbed in the culture of its surroundings that it was indistinguishable from the city in which it lived. What an indictment on a group of God's people who are there to make a difference in the world. But Christ comes and says, but I want to put you right. I want to put you right. I'm waiting at the door. In fact, I'm more than just waiting at the door. I'm knocking at the door. I'm not being inactive. I'm stood at the door. Yes, but I'm knocking at that door. And I want you to respond to the knocking of God at the heart's door. The one door for which Christ will not break down, but will knock. Gently, but persistently. Knocking at your heart's door. Will you open the door? Will you let him in? This is the message to the church at Laodicea. A number of weeks ago, when we started this series, we did say that these letters should be taken as a whole, not just as seven individual messages. They should also be a warning over it that says you may recognize yourself here in any of or all of these messages, so be prepared to reflect and to respond. And the message this morning from all of these is the Christ knows you. He knows your good works. He knows your ambition for the things of the kingdom. He knows all of that. And yet, sometimes our love has grown cold. Sometimes we have been absorbed or influenced by those things around and about us. Sometimes we fail to recognize how rich we really are. But the Christ says, even to the most self-assured, there is another thing that you lack, and that is me in your life. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. We pray this morning for the rich banker. The Christ says, I advise you to buy gold from me. To the medical researcher, he says, you think you have insight, but buy ointment for your eyes from me so that you can see. To the one who thinks that they are well dressed, the Christ says, buy white garments from me so that you can cover over that which you are unaware of. Look, I'm waiting. I'm knocking. And I want you to answer the call. There may be somebody here in this meeting this morning who has been holding fast shut the door of your heart for too long now. For too long. Not wanting the Christ to come in. Not wanting the Christ to share the meal as friend with friend. Wanting to keep the distance. These messages from the Christ were not for one time, one season only. They are for all times and all people. And again, the question is posed. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, I will come in, says the Christ, and I will share with you. Who is it tells me what to do? It is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that was prayed for right at the beginning of our meeting, that he should come and have his way amongst us today. And you know, those within the hearing of my voice, if you should open the heart's door to the Christ this morning.